CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter. Louis Freeh's $6.5 million investigation and report on the Jerry Sandusky scandal pulled no punches.
The most powerful men at Penn State failed to take any steps for 14 years to protect the children who Sandusky victimized.
Those powerful men included the late Hall of Fame coach Joe Paterno and former president Graham Spanier, trustees chair Karen Peets.
We feel concerned and misled in the entire situation. Though we're taking responsibility, we did not withhold that information. And so each of the individuals, I would say, have let us down significantly.
The NCAA says it wants answers from Penn State, whose football program could face sanctions. President Rodney Erickson's focusing on the future.
Penn State's best days are in front of us. Penn State will emerge from this as an even stronger and better institution.
CBS News Update. I'm Pam Coulter.
7:32 as we continue tonight, we bring in Daily Beast and Newsweek correspondent Diane Diamond, who is closely covering various facets of this story. Diane, welcome back. Did it strike you that Louis Freeh was speaking almost in disdainful terms about Joe Paterno and others?
Well, I think he wanted to set the record straight. There's been so much said that during this six-month-long investigation. It's been 8 months since he took it up and then took some time to write it. I think he wanted everyone to be absolutely sure what he was saying, that from the top on down, from the president to the janitors at Penn State University, nobody took the honorable route, and when they were taken in front of the grand jury, several of them lied. I think we'll see some more indictments.
Diane, there are now multiple calls for Penn State's football program to shut down for a while. What are you hearing about the likelihood of that from the NCAA?
Well, I talked to people at the NCAA, and they, like the people at the Department of Education, say, well, yes, of course, we're looking into things, but the investigations take time. And, you know, Louis Freeh didn't pull any punches. He said he'd had enough time to decide that some tragic things had happened there at the school. So what do you do? There are a lot of calls to hit Penn State where it would hurt the most, and that's at the $70 million a year that that football team brings in every year. They make about $50 million in profit. If you shut that down for a couple of years, that might teach them a lesson. And I think that there is a lot of call out there for some sort of institutional punishment for the inaction that happened.
Now, a lot of people, and many of them may be very close to Penn State, would say, fine, but you know what? Those young men playing on the team, the people in charge of the team now, they didn't do this to those children. Why should they pay the price?
Right, exactly. It's sort of like telling the Olympic athletes, when Jimmy Carter told them, I'm sorry, you can't go because we have this bigger problem. It is a bigger problem than just football, and it's probably, a lot of people are thinking, it's time for Penn State to realize football is not the be-all, end-all, do-all in life. It's keeping kids safe.
Diane, as you know, there is always the crime and then there is the cover-up. Do we have any indication at this point in time how high up this scandal goes?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious from the Freeh report that it went all the way to the president, Spanier. And he is the lone top official who has not been indicted for perjury before the grand jury, but I'll bet you he will be. And I think we may see other indictments, too. There was a lot said about the university campus police chief. He's not been, we haven't heard a lot about him, but in this report, it's clear that he's not filing reports he should have. He is part of the conversation not to go to the outside police to talk about Sandusky. I wouldn't be surprised if he was indicted as well.
We remember the night of the verdict, the night the verdict came down Friday night. There was a sense that the university finally came to the realization about the magnitude of this, about the seriousness of it, and olive branches, let's call them, were extended to some of the victims. Has it been pretty much silence since then? What's going on with that relationship, making it right as much as Penn State can?
That's a really good question. You know, that night we were standing outside the courthouse, and part of the reportage that night was Penn State's statement. We're going to reach out to the victims. We want to talk about compensation. We're going to start a program. Well, I'm here to tell you that was 3 weeks ago, and there is not one thing that's happened. I think they were all waiting for the Freeh report to come out. But, you know, they knew in their heart of hearts what had happened here. that it had been 14 years since they first heard stories about misconduct with Sandusky and young boys, and nobody had done anything. I think they probably should have extended that olive branch and actually taken some preliminary action while waiting for the free report, and they just didn't do it.
Diane, 14 years, no one had done anything. How do you explain the state attorney general and even the politicians in the state of Pennsylvania on this one?
Yeah, there's a lot being said in the state of Pennsylvania. When I was there, I heard it time and time again, that it was the politics of the state, the people running for governor who didn't want to bring this up for criminal charges because that would alienate the alumni base, you know, the money flowing into the campaigns. I don't know if that is true, but I will tell you that witness, victim number one, testified that he was 15 years old when he first brought up these charges to the police, and this kid who sobbed and wept on the stand waited 3 long years before Jerry Sandusky was ever arrested. It took an awful long time, and I would like to know why.
You know, maybe we finish up tonight, Diane, where we started or toward the beginning of this interview, talking about shutting down the football program for a while. Mm-hmm. Even beyond that, how do you change the culture at a place like Penn State? It seems to have this instinctive need to be closed in, to cover up. Maybe I'm pushing it there, going a little too far, but it takes decades and decades to change these kinds of cultures.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I go back to that night that Joe Paterno was fired, and the students rallied, and they held demonstrations for Joe Pa. And I wonder now, where are the demonstrations? Now the facts are on the table, and there are no demonstrations for the survivors. To me, the heroes on Penn State are those 8 young men who took the stand and said what happened in the Penn State showers. We learned today that the university had not even implemented its Clery Act plan. That's a Department of Education plan that should have been in place to report crimes and warn people that there might be a danger on the campus. Spanier had been the president there since 1995. And it had never been implemented. I think they start right there with the Clery Act, get that implemented. And then I think they start trying to inform people that if you see something, say something. If you're a janitor, if you're a student, if you're a cafeteria worker, it doesn't matter who you have a suspicion about, you should report it to somebody. A child's life might be in danger.
Diane, thanks for being with us again tonight.
You betcha.
Daily Beast and Newsweek investigative reporter Diane Diamond.